Hello. Episode 167 of the Chattering Classes Crazy Matt's Morning Show. You'll understand that by the end of the episode, perhaps. Coming up in a couple of weeks, I've got my end of year podcast solo thing where I just discuss all the good movies, music, and books that I've enjoyed throughout the year. And then we might have a little break after that, but I'm not sure. But anyway, let's get on with it. Morning Show!
That's how hot it is in here. All the pictures are warping.
All right. Well, I mean, I can see the famous photo of me and Lynn's there. That's always good.
Yeah. There's also me in the General Lee, which I don't know if that's good.
So wait, I've already started recording. So let's start there, shall we? What, like, is that an actual photo of you in the General Lee when it like came to Sydney or?
Not even Sydney, Wyong.
All right, well, let's start here, shall we? I'm talking to Stuart Buckland, and he's going to explain why the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard, when and where it was in Wyong, yeah, of all places.
Wyong.
Tell us more, Stu.
Wyong's kickstarting this podcast tonight. I was taken to the Wyong Plaza.
Mm.
Which is a small shopping center in the middle of Wyong when I was, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I think my mum knew, but right there was a General Lee, right bang in the middle of the shopping center. Why it was there, I don't know.
Just, wow, okay. This is peak Dukes of Hazzard time.
It's peak Dukes of Hazzard, but I don't know what they were selling. Like, I don't know what the purpose of the car being there was. I've tried to think about it over the years. Like, it's not like they were trying to get people to sign up to a streaming service of some kind. Like, telly was free. You just watched it. You didn't have to sign up to anything to watch. I don't know why the General Lee was there.
Do you think maybe it was just to get people to the shopping center?
Maybe, but if you own the General Lee, like, maybe, obviously there's probably 20 General Lees out there or whatever it is, but
yeah.
Still, why schlep it to Wyong? Like, they'd have to be paying a fair bit.
Yeah, that is very unusual, isn't it?
Anyway, I'll point out we didn't know what racism was in the '80s. Okay?
No,
so it was
we didn't know what a Confederate flag represented.
Please don't cancel 7-year-old Stu. I was just sitting in it because it was a cool car I saw on the telly.
Yeah, and it had a cool horn, and we're like,
you don't mind.
And then for many a year, anytime you would see that flag, you would say, oh, it's Dukes of Hazzard flag.
Yep.
And you'd go,
how cool was that?
How cool. What a great flag. I'm going to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Far out. So, all right, cool. So you've got up there to remind you of better days of the time you hung out in the General Lee.
Well, it's not so much about the General Lee. It's about me being a young, excitable fellow.
Yeah.
And trying to recapture that as often as I can, I suppose.
The feeling of you sitting in the Dukes of Hazzard car. I mean, right. Did you climb into it, Dukes of Hazzard style?
I think I did. I have a feeling that the doors were kind of weldy shut.
Yeah, right. So you had to go in feet first through the window as they did in the show. What a great... You either had to slide across the bonnet and then go in feet first.
Well, either that or that's just what they made you do, because it would be pretty upsetting to just open the door and step in after watching them slide through the window on the show.
Yeah, but I can't imagine... I mean, no offense, but 7-year-old dexterity and height-wise wouldn't have been the same, you know, level of core strength needed for a grown person to swing themselves in there.
Oh, no. Someone probably just threw me through the window.
Oh, just all day. That was their job, to throw kids through the window of the General Lee.
The kid lobber. Yeah. 80s prices, 20, like 20 bucks an hour, something like that. That would have been all right.
Lobbing them through.
What's the kind of crossover between people who listen to your podcast and people who know what the Dukes of Hazzard is, do you think?
I mean, we'll have to do the we'll have to pay someone
Don't
for
you do audience surveys?
the metadata analysis there and get the really get into the weeds on that one to just see. I don't know. We've talked about all kinds of things. I think last time we got into a bit of small wonder chat. I think the last time we did talking to the boys. We just that, I mean, that was going to be one of my questions actually was, you know, one thing that both of us love very much is a love of 80s obscurity. As we're speaking, you're drinking from a Ghostbusters mug. Does it have a quote on it? It just says, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts."
It is. Oh, Ghostbusters is hardly obscure, though. Like, they're
No, I
making
know.
another movie right now.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But I mean, here's the challenge, right?
Not
What's
making small wonder movies in 2023, Matt.
Oh, see, we can always dream, Buckland. We can always dream. If you will it, it is no dream.
They did make a Dukes of Hazzard movie, though. And
They did.
I feel like it was relatively recently, or
Yeah.
maybe because I'm an old man, I'm calling 12 years or something ago relatively
I think it
recent.
had Sean William Scott from the American Pie movies in it.
Did
I am just going to do a little bit of research in here
I
to find
don't
out.
believe I watched it. I'm going to bet, I'll bet folding money that they didn't have a Confederate flag on there.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't
Surely
know.
not.
Je I'm get I all I know is I'm pretty sure Jessica Simpson, I'm not real good with
Yeah, it was Jessica Simpson because she
was in
was
it as well.
extremely good at
2000
wearing small
and
denim pants.
yes, so that's what it was marketed on. 2005, we're talking about here.
See,
The
that's
movie.
recent to an old dude.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I can't see any images. I'm not going to start looking up whether.
Type in Confederate flag and then a mixture of other things and see what you get. No, please don't.
No. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. But yes, 2005. So, yeah, that's and I don't think anyone was interested. It's like, why? I don't understand why people, you know, people like us, we love a bit of like reminiscing and talking about small wonder style, a lot of small wonder talk. But here's the cast: Johnny Knoxville, Sean William Scott, Jessica Simpson. It's prime 2005. It also had Burt Reynolds and Linda Carter and Willie Nelson.
Yeah, Willie Nelson went on a real run of movies in the thousands, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have him as himself,
In
being probably
everything.
stoned, making a joke about weed or something like that.
You were going to ask me a question, and I kind of trampled over it with a small wonder.
That's all right, but that's kind of the point. Was like our love of sort of obscure 80s TV. Now you said like Ghostbusters isn't obscure, but the fact that you could recite pretty much every line of, and all I have to say to you is like a thought just popped into my head, and I know you're going to say what just popped in, you know, like there's knowing the movie, but also knowing cadence
Yeah.
of the
What?
dialogue.
What just popped in there?
So my question to you is, we throw reference after reference at each other when we're in conversation. How much do you have to sort of monitor that in the real world, in your day to day, or you know, like there's a lot. Anytime we're together, there's always Golden Girls chat, so to speak. How I mean, we could go. Stu's looking at me incredulously, but we could go to the
No, I get, as always, I'm just thinking about someone
tape.
just tuning in and hearing that.
Yeah, but what I mean is, like, how much do you have to temper that in the real? You know, it's all context. But someone says something, you have a reference on the tip of your. I mean, The Simpsons is a classic example,
Oh, yeah.
but do
I
you?
think I think I'm pretty good at tempering it because I like I it's really just to get a reaction out of friends,
Yeah.
those kind of obscure reference things, preferably when they're about to take a sip of something. That's the ideal situation.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I don't really get an urge to do it that much because I know, like, because I know I'm gonna have to sit there and explain it and then deal with the blank looks and the no, you're not quite getting it. It's funny because look, let me go again. Here we go.
Yeah.
Who's got time for that?
Yeah, it's the setting up and also I think what it becomes, certainly for me, is like an in joke for one. Like
Yeah.
I might still say the reference, but without any sort of without the cadence, you know, like I
Yeah.
said, not without the actual cadence, just to say it, get it out of my system. It seems part of the conversation, but I know I've just, you know, said a line. No one's ever going to, you know, the conversation's going to flow on, but you just, all right, well, I've said it. I've said that Lionel Hutz from line,
Yeah.
and now we're moving on.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure there are times when I have, but I've probably just mumbled it to myself, and thankfully, no one's bothered like asking for my sake, so I don't have to explain it.
Yeah. So I this is a very random question. What is
From you?
exactly. What is your favorite obscure reference? That's a hard question, I know. Do you have like a favorite obscure reference which you never see?
Or I think I go through phases, right?
Yeah.
If we just leave Simpsons aside completely, it'll just be like random obscure shows. Like Perfect Strangers, for example, is the kind of phase I'm in at the moment. If not enough to watch it. Rewatch it, of course, but enough to
No.
mention it if an obscure reference is called for.
Yes.
I just think it's, whatever's kind of close to mind at that point in time. I'll get sick of using Perfect Strangers soon and move on to something else, like, Webster or something like that,
Someone brought up Punky Brewster at work the other day.
Right. How old
Right.
are they?
Maybe a bit older than us, but around our age. But they said something like, oh, like Punky Brewster. Maybe the shoes she was wearing or something. She was like, they remind me of Punky Brewster. And then she said, does anyone remember that show? And again, I just said, yeah, I remember. But like I what I wanted to say was Let's talk about Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that episode where Sherry got stuck in the fridge? And she was the people were like, "What?" And I'm like, "There was an episode. Oh, that's how I
I
learned
thought
not
you'd
to
be
hide in fridges."
insulted. Someone said, do you know what Punky Brewster is? What the hell are you, talking about?
But that's what I mean. You have to temper your excitement, otherwise you just seem like a weirdo. It's like there was an episode
Wouldn't want that.
where someone got caught in the fridge. I learned don't hide in fridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except if you're Indiana Jones
Yeah,
and there's
no,
a
that's true. And
nuclear.
there's a nuclear blast.
You see, confusing messaging.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Kids today, they watch Indiana Jones
That's right.
hiding in fridge.
Just on the off chance that that's the day that the bombs fall.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and then you get them. Oh, no, we can get into that. But what I wanted to go on with was the rest of that episode, but no one was interested.
You just sat him down and said, "All right, listen, I'll be Punky. You enter
You,
here.
you're
Let's start
George.
from
You
the
come in. Wait, George? No, that's not right. Getting Webster confused now. Webster and Punky Brewster confused.
Is that a special kind of
I
confused that's just a step above normal confused? I'm not
think so.
confused. I'm Webster
I'm
confused."
Webster confused. Oh, too many titles, as always. Oh dear. All right, I've got some other questions to throw at you.
Yes.
They're not related to Webster or Punky Brewster, so you can relax somewhat. So, what I wanted to talk to you about, because a lot of this season, I guess, this 6 months, I've talked to a lot of people about friendships and things like that, talked to people in their friendships and asked questions about friendship. And we do a couple of podcasts with you, myself and you, and we go and our other friend Ellis. Everyone here listens to Dad Pants and What's the Go and The Angry Chimp and other podcasts that we have taken and scrubbed off the internet with good cause.
Yep.
So
like we like doing it because it's fun, but it's also we do it to stay connected.
Yeah. Look, I think we've tried to stop a few times, but I think we like it too much and we keep coming back. Look, I feel that, yes, we've talked before, I'm not sure, maybe even on this podcast, about the fact that it's an excuse to have a regular catch-ups that feels more like important in some way than just saying, I'm going to ring my friend.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, particularly if there's four of us doing it, you feel maybe a bit like you're letting people down if you miss it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, it kind of, it gives the conversation an energy knowing that, like, it's not just us talking to each other. It's for a theoretical person listening in. And so it just gives the, I say that on advice.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of way too many moments where we're like, why are we talking about someone we went to school with?
Well, I've got something to say about that in a sec.
Okay.
But I think like it just gives a kind of edge to the conversation where we're being a bit performative but also are having a conversation that's reasonably natural to the sort of conversation we would have if no one were listening.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yes, it's natural and it's I guess the energy level, right, is you can't have a lull. No one's going to the bar. No one's
no dead end.
No, you can't go to the toilet. Oh, just, you know, or run into someone you know, or get a phone call, and you know, when if you're out somewhere else in a different social situation. So yeah, it has to have sort of. I was going to say it has to have a focus, but that's not always kept in high enough regard sometimes.
As long as there's an attempt at a focus or, you know, you start with one.
Yeah, I suppose. That's right, yeah.
And then it becomes how quickly is it thrown out. You know.
True. So what I was going to ask was, with the four of us, I mean, we've done, you know, hundreds, multiples, you know, over 100, easy, of podcasts altogether. Have you observed, like, do you think there's, like, characters that we do when we do the Dad Pants podcast or other podcasts we did? Do you think we have sort of types that we fall into? And I'm springing that on you.
No, that's fine. I can answer that pretty easily, but I'm just, again, worried about this theoretical listener.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should explain,
yep,
like, the timeline, I guess, of it.
Okay.
Let's go back. Let's go back, right back to the start.
Way back.
So, obviously, when we're talking about us here, we're talking about Matt and myself and Ben and Rich. And back in 2013, Ben had a podcast with a couple other friends called Muck Moon.
Yep.
You started this old podcast, I believe. Yeah. Was that
2013, yeah.
And then I had a little sketch show called The Angry Chimp Show, which was just whatever weirdness I thought up that week.
Yep.
And had enough time to slap together. So I don't know, for some reason, like I'd been listening to podcasts since 2006 when the Ricky Gervais stuff came out,
right.
And Tony Martin was doing the Get This radio show, which they would make podcasts of and stick up on their website.
Yeah, I think they weren't called podcasts at the time, but I used to listen to...
No, they were, but they weren't necessarily on an RSS
feed. When I was living in Japan, I would listen to Roy and HG because they would, again, put it up on Real Player. Wow, that just popped into my head. On Real Player, and it wasn't called a podcast, but that's all it was just the radio show where you could just listen to it any time for that week. They didn't have it up indefinitely, so if you missed it for a week, then you couldn't get... It was only that one. But then, yeah, like you said, Ricky Gervais had his. But I don't think I started listening to 2011, maybe.
Not so you like, as a regular thing.
Yeah, as a regular thing. Or like searching out what are podcasts and what are ones I want to listen to.
Well, I mean, there weren't that many back in 2006, but I was listening to kind of those ones, which were essentially just, yeah, radio shows that they put up on websites, or Ricky Gervais saying, hey, this is a podcast, because no one knew what one was, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And just asking Carl Pilkington questions. And
yeah, and letting him be a moron.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make is that, so, you know, we were all listening to podcasts before that, but then for whatever reason, the 2013, without any actual discussion between the three of us of, hey, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
We just all kind of launched shows in that year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think because those first podcasters that I was listening to, you like Kevin Smith, Wigo and I listened to Jay Moore, really early podcasts. They were saying
Kevin Smith's podcast now, by the way. I used to listen to him, and
yeah,
I can't stand him.
I remember having a realization and thinking, well, that's killed it for me, which was his podcasts are like a podcast version of Hey Hey It's Saturday. And I was like, all right, okay, they're just, you know, we've got a formula,
same jokes every week.
Yeah, because one of my favorite series of podcasts, I think I've talked about this, I don't know when, on the podcast, was he did like one with Jason Mewes. I can't remember.
Get Old. Yeah.
And the first six episodes, I want to say, were basically telling the story of their friendship and how Jason Mewes was addicted to opioids and just that whole thing. And I found that like incredible. Like, it was obviously Kevin Smith can talk for hours and hours, and it was incredibly detailed, but honest and pretty brutal at times. But then, yeah, just after a while, I was like, oh, like you said, it becomes a formula. But those first podcasters were always talking about, anyone can do this.
Yeah,
I think that was the issue of, like, right, people saying for 2 years or however long, saying, like, why don't you just start up a podcast? You know, or they'd have listeners that would have questions for them. Like, how do you start up a podcast? Easy. Just get a mic, record it,
yeah,
upload it to whatever. And I was like, oh, okay.
I'm kind of surprised it took me so long, because when I was a kid, I was making my own little shows on cassette tapes and stuff like that. Essentially podcasts.
Yeah.
Because it's just me ranting about stuff and then maybe doing a sketch or maybe like some silly noises or whatever.
Yeah, definitely me and my brothers were doing the same.
Yeah.
With our little tape recorder. And basically, I mean, this will give you a sense of our comedy chops, was a cross between Monty Python and Benny Hill. That's where we're at.
So yakety sax a lot? So,
yeah, a lot of yakety sax, a lot of double entendres, a lot of sound effects of bald men being smacked on the head.
Well, now I want to listen to it.
I mean, that would be amazing. Where is it? No idea where those tapes would be, but I'm going up for Christmas, so let me if I can fossick around and find any kind of tape with nothing written on it or nondescript.
Go God a day knows. Earlier, just in case you need the extra time to find them. Sorry, I was in the middle of a chronology.
Yeah.
Yes. So we all started podcasting that same year. And then I think we all just went, well, we're all doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing one together? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Might have been Ben that initiated that conversation even.
Yeah, I think so.
And so we did. And then for the next, so 2014, for the next 4 and a bit years, we did the podcast that shall not be named. And coming back to what I said I'd mentioned earlier, I think we needed to do that podcast.
Yeah.
And get some things out of our system in terms of understanding, you know, what's good, what's not, what should you say, what shouldn't you say, all that sort of stuff. And getting that stuff out of the system of doing jokes and not bothering to explain them properly to people.
Yes. Yeah.
We did that for a while. And then I think we kind of needed to do that to get to the point now where we can do a show like Dad Pants.
Yep.
Or Bit Weird But Fair Enough, I guess, which is another show that we all do. Or Chattering Classes now, even. I don't know. I don't think you were ever, I think you were kind of different with this, very different with this than Waypod at the start. But
yeah,
certainly with those other two podcasts, we can now like do them, I think, quite well.
Yeah.
Because of like doing that other podcast. Because I think, you know, when we were doing the other podcast, I think we kind of joked about how awful it was.
Yeah.
And then we went, oh, yeah, it was pretty bad. But I went back and listened to some, you know, in the last couple of weeks, and it was truly awful. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. And
that's great.
I think we did take like get a bit kind of miffed at Wigo at the end of that podcast, because he told us that he explained, someone asked him about podcast, whether they should listen to it. And his comment to them was, if you trawl through the fields of shit, you'll find some gold. And we were like, oh, come on, man. What are you saying that for? But he was right. There's a few genuinely funny bits, but my God, there's no way you would trawl through the rest of it to find them.
No. And I have one episode that's on my phone, which I listen to every now and then, and it has like a 20-minute bit, which is just I find consistently hilarious. But all again, right. I don't know if you
well, that must have been the one thing that
I mean, in honesty, it was episode 96 or something of 100. So that's I think that has something to do with it. You know, it was like by the time we got to there, then maybe there was a bit more decorum, a bit more sort of,
yes,
you know, framing. I remember the feedback we got from Emily, if Emily's listening to this, where she said, former number one listener, where she said, all of your stories have the undertone of you had to be there. Well, dickheads, none of us were there. But that was pretty much it. It was like all of the things we talked about were things that people weren't there for.
Well, look, you'll be glad to know, Emily, that you're watching us learn. Listening to us learn, I guess.
Yeah, we're lifelong learners.
We
podcast
are
podcast learners.
But yeah, I genuinely think most of the time, yeah, Dad Pants is pretty good.
Yeah,
and I like, and you know, obviously that's a subjective opinion. I can't know what anyone else thinks of it without them telling me directly. But I think it's a pretty decent premise, and I think that we have. I edit it, so I'm 99% sure that there aren't any stupid jokes in there that no one else would get.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Bit Weird But Fair Enough, I guess. So, yeah, and what's the go? So,
yeah, we try and minimize those things, and either edit them out, but now very, very clearly, if someone throws in a reference, the other three tend to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
I'll either cut it out, or if the scorn that person gets is funny, then I'll leave it in for that reason.
Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it? Like, oh, let's pursue that. Let's talk about that thing. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. It's just like, oh God.
Yes.
Just, can we move on from there? Yeah. But I don't know if you remember, did we do much recording of podcasts in 2020? Like when the pandemic hit?
Yes. We did. So 2020 was we had another crack at the podcast that couldn't be named,
right,
if you
right,
remember
right.
That.
Yes, yes. Some good episodes in that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
Great premise that we.
Maybe we should just start again with those episodes, and we could actually, you know, show our faces to the podcasting public. they were okay, those ones. But then also that was the first season, a bit weird but fair enough, I guess.
Right.
Which, for anyone who doesn't know, it's all in the title. It's just a group of people get together, talk about weird stuff they've found on the interwebs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're the two main ones from 2020, and then obviously you were doing this podcast in 2020 as well.
Yeah, but I don't think
did
I
you
was,
do much?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I did as much until 2021. I think is when we really because I think once people got used to Zoom,
yeah,
in 2020, when everyone had it, then I thought, oh, I could just do this pretty regularly. And I don't know why I hadn't done that before. Again, like you were saying, like you have to do those first a whole lot. I mean, I did 8 years, but I was doing literally seven to 10 episodes per year. And it was usually people I knew that I could see face to face. And I think once everyone started using Zoom, they were a bit more comfortable because people would say, well, what do I do? And, oh, how do I record it? And all of that stuff.
That's every podcaster everywhere in 2020, pretty much. Like, everybody was face to face until it was like, you know, some sort of collective eureka.
Yeah.
Going, oh, I can talk to anyone anywhere in the world now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been really weird. And in I don't know if listening back whether anyone can tell in the moment, but like when I record at different times of the day, I can notice like the different energy levels. You know, I've recorded with people who are in the States. So I'm recording at like 7 o'clock in the morning for their evening and, you know, vice versa at all kinds of times. I've got up earlier than that just to record. And you're just like, oh, I didn't, you know, I've done three in a day with people in three different countries. And you're just like, oh, I don't know why I limited myself to like eight people who knew what podcasts were and could do it face to face, or people who had done podcasts that you could actually talk to.
So the three in a day, is that just how the scheduling worked out, or were you just particularly fired up at that point?
I probably a bit of both. I go through sort of phases where, like, at the moment, I'm like, oh, I think I might have a break at the end of the year. Like, I've got this episode and then two more planned, and then I might have a break. But I'm also on holidays. So that's usually when I have a little rest, come back after Christmas, and that's when I'll, you know, I'll just ask a whole bunch of people at once. And that's why, start of this year on like Australia Day, it might have been, where I interviewed someone and then I came home and got online, and then later that night, which I wouldn't recommend doing three in a day because I get pretty wired after doing these.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What is this podcast to you exactly?
What an excellent question. I knew it was going to be something like that. What is this podcast? I don't know. I legitimately don't think about what it is. I don't know if that makes sense. It might sound like I'm just, feigning that, but I like, obviously I like talking to people and trying to understand people's brains more. I like, the more I talk to people, the more they're willing to just sort of, I don't know. I like asking people how their brain got to the point where they got to. But I don't really have like an overarching goal. In the last few months, two people have said like, this is like a real body of work. And I had never considered that before. They're like, you have these and your kids can listen to them. And there's all this information, like you can fire up whatever episode now from all these years. And
I was going to ask if there was an element of, you know, diary keeping of sorts to it.
I don't think so. I mean, because anytime I listen back, I always think I talk too much, so I don't, it's other people. I don't know.
No, well, like a diary in the sense of, you know, at this point in time, I was talking, you know, like this was a person that I knew. And we, you know, we were interested in this stuff, so we talked about it kind of thing.
No, that's true.
There
are very specific episodes where that is definitely the case, where it's, you know, I've done a couple now with Phillips, and basically it is, here is a list of stories I want you to tell, which makes him seem like, you know, that's, he's like a professional and he just goes around telling the same stories. But yeah, there is a bit of that. Yeah. Where it's like, here is someone who, you know, I've interviewed people like Kerry Ann, who we sort of were friends with in England, you know, 20 years ago. No, Kerry Ann, who, you know, we were friends with 20 years ago.
Sorry, I said Kerry Ann Kennelly.
Oh, God.
And you.
Sorry.
I don't.
Damn it. I wish I. Can we do that again? I thought you said Emily. Oh, that's really disappointing. Because I would have said, right. Yeah, haven't you heard my interview with Kerry Ann Kennelly?
Yeah. When she and Chopper. And yeah, and Chopper on there.
Oh, well. Yeah, Chopper. Far out. El McPhee style.
I think. No, there was. But he. Wasn't it Kerry Ann and Chopper when they had Alan Jones on the phone as well?
Yeah.
Going, yeah. Oh, I never got caught in a toilet though.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she started, I remember, because she started waving at the ceiling.
Yes.
Like, cart, stop, stop. And going, well, you need to be waving at Chopper. No one upstairs is causing the drama. Anyway. Again, here we go. See, there's an example of something that only a few people might know, and we probably haven't explained it very well. Anyway,
we just moved past it. Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you is this podcast, or at least was it originally? It probably isn't now, 10 years in.
Yep.
But was it a challenge to yourself to be more introverted? And the reason I say that is because a lot of people who know you will probably be surprised to find that you consider yourself introverted.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's probably true. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the case, because like you said before, is that it's performative, and even this is performative, right? Is I see that as, I mean, I haven't thought about it, so I'm trying to think on the spot, so bear with me.
Do you agree that you are introverted naturally though?
Yeah, definitely. But it's weird because I'm a teacher, and in class there's no introversion in class.
Yeah.
You know, I hold the room. I've been teaching long enough to, you know, get attention.
So is this masochism? What is this?
Well, I really love it though. Like these conversations, I've always been a fan of. You would know that. I was always having conversations that were probably too deep and meaningful for like 4 o'clock in the morning with people. All those years ago, that I like sort of surprising people with I don't know how we got to this topic. That's my favorite thing, is like when people are like, oh, I'm probably sharing too much. Like I think that's kind of my goal more than anything else.
Right.
But the I don't know what you would call it, because number one, I have an aversion to people who describe themselves as introverted whilst also being really, you know, not, you know. Look at me, I'm really an introvert. So or it's fashionable to be an introvert. You'd never call yourself an extrovert.
I think there's a, well, yeah, you know, the question's probably not fitting.
I think I've got an answer for you that's a bit more to what you're saying. I like the control of this. Does that make sense? That's what it is. It's about the control. That's why I like being I like talking in front of people in a classroom.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've just moved schools, right? And I've left schools. And when you leave schools, a lot of people want you to make speeches and let's go out and have like brunch or dinner. And then you can make a speech. And I'm like, I don't want to, everyone turns to me and I don't like that at all.
Yes.
And I'd rather not. Thank you very much. But if it's someone else's farewell, I'm happy to get up and and talk rubbish. But when it's me, it's the same. Yeah, I have a real aversion to people singing happy birthday to me. I hate it.
Yep. How glassy can your stare get while you're waiting for it to end?
Very dead-eyed, and the smile is just probably psychotic. This is like amazing.
I think you're right there about the control of the situation, though, because I guess it is. It's kind of fun, isn't it, to dictate to some degree how things are going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, you know, like I said, you control your classroom, you control, you know, what we talk about on your podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're moving to a new school. If they have some sort of welcome function for you,
absolutely,
you're not going to be able to walk up. So, oh, hey, this is Kevin.
No.
Okay, we're talking to Kevin now. And Kevin, we're going to talk about movies, right? Your favorite movies. You can't do that. You have to come up with normal human conversation.
Yeah, that's the problem I have, is the small. That's why I like this, because I don't, the small talk really just wears me out of just, oh God, do I have to go through this?
Well, that's right. Your small talk is small wonder. Small wonder talk.
Small wonder talk is what I want.
And then as soon as you get sick of that, you get into your proper stuff.
Like, before we recorded an episode last week, you were like, if you're sitting next to someone at an award show and it gets boring, what's your go-to question? And that's what I said, was like, would you rather have legs as long as fingers or fingers as long as legs? Why can't I just say that to people that I've never met? That's the first thing I say to them. Hi, I'm Matt. I've got a question for you.
That's right. Like,
why can't I just say that?
Because you have to sit in a staff room with them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I know. And the problem is, they might think I'm weird, but if they don't have an answer ready to go, I don't want to know them.
That's right. And then you've created a situation where you have to spend time with someone you're not interested in.
Yeah.
Whereas they have the potential to be interesting if you never ask them.
And that is probably true as well. And if you can ask the right question, then it's the potential of being interesting. I love that phrase. That is a better podcast title. The potential of being interesting. But I think that's what it comes down to, is like, I like just having the control. I done it for so long, but I didn't really have sort of a breakthrough of that until I interviewed, and I've spoken about this before, but when I interviewed JC the first time and was talk, I, what I, and it had an, that had a narrative arc to it. And that was the first time where I thought, I know this person well enough that I can, like you said, what we had to learn from doing our podcast and me doing the podcast was, if you have a more of a narrative for some people, then you don't need to know all the other stuff. And if you listen to that, like JC and I spent a good 5 minutes talking about this race car driver called Bodine. For some reason, we said he wore his sunglasses upside down, and that's what we've always done since.
Yeah.
But I knew him talking about skiing and breaking his leg horribly.
Yes.
Was when he was telling that story in the moment, I remember going, oh, this is awesome. Because I know, I know if you were listening to this, you'd be like, oh my God, this is like a horrible, horrible accident he's gone through. But you don't know as a listener that in 5 years' time, he's going to complete the Hawaiian Ironman, you know, like the most grueling triathlon in the world. You don't know that listening. So that was the first time I thought, oh, that's an interesting way to do it. Now, I don't do that all the time and with like this. Like, I've written down like two things.
I don't think you thought we'd be talking about Dukes of Hazzard at the start.
But that's the whole point, is like when I'm talking to you or talking to Wigo or whoever it is, I know you've done this enough. But when it's people who I'm asking and they're unsure, I need to do that preparation of like, well, I'll ask them about this and I'll ask them about that. But that also means, as in terms of control, is that I can throw those away if we get onto something that they're talking about. I can't say, I know that, like, yeah, you had a parent die, but I've got written down here, can we talk about the time, blah blah blah, like you just go, oh well, this is, so that's the thing that I've worked at, is can I listen well enough, is when I listen back to, if when I was listening to older episodes, someone's about to tell me something and I'm bulldozing them with someone else, something else, like, oh, another movie, let's talk about another movie, or let's talk about,
because it's on your
song.
List,
yeah, because it's on your list. And so, well, that's pretty different.
I'm glad that you realize and that you know that you've like gotten better at that, because I certainly think that it's noticeable over the years that that you adducing those stories and adducing those moments is certainly seems to be quite natural now.
Yeah, and it's sort of I took a couple of risks. Like, no, they're not risk, but I took risk interviewing people that I didn't know at all. You know, like I've interviewed people where, you know, friends of friends who are like, oh, they want to be, they like it. They want to be on the show. And I'm like, okay, have you got any, can you give me any information? And then you really have to listen, because that's really stilted at the start and really sort of, oh, yep, okay. And their answers aren't very long. And then you're like I did one with Adam where he was like, oh yeah, this and this. And then, you know, I've got like a meat curing fridge. And I was like, hang on. Tell me more. And at first he was like, he thought I was taking the piss. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, tell us you. And I was like, no. Like, let's slow down. Let's talk about this. And then once they, you know, once they get into that sort of a bit more relaxed about, oh, you're actually interested in this. Because if I was, again, at a party and I just met you and everyone else is talking about how hot it is,
yeah,
how humid it is, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's in my, you know, meat fridge, I'd be like, let's go. I'm all, tell me more about it. I have mentioned this before, but that has crossed over into the real world, right? Where I am better in social situations because I can ask people more direct questions about, you know, when you say, what do you do? And they tell you, and you're like, what's the best thing about that job?
Yes. Yeah.
And they think they're very wary at first, because they don't want to go, oh, I like the fact, especially if it's like a job which might be considered stereotypically dull. You're like, what?
Yeah.
And then, so they're protective. But once you say, no, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, this is way more interesting conversation than if I said, what do you do? Oh, okay.
I think I'm very similar. Like, I never think anyone's got a particularly dull job. Like, no. I'm interested, then there must be some minutiae that is going to be like fascinating in some way.
Yeah. I mean, it's the sad thing is a lot of it is just listening. It's actually really listening and hearing, catching something that they've said where you're like, can you explain that further? Like that question, wait, can go back. Can you explain? I don't understand. Can you explain that? And again, people are wary of that. Like, oh, really? They're like, yeah, I don't know anything about it.
It is a kind of buzz term in podcasting, but it is true. There's a very distinct gap between the podcast hosts who have that active listening and response to the ones where, you know, like we said, they've got a list of questions.
Yeah.
And they'll go, and then there's no follow-up. Like, they just said something that's like really interesting or needs a clarification or needs a follow-up and or tag up on something, and you just haven't. You've looked at your sheet and moved on.
Just bulldozed straight through. I mean, this year, like, I interviewed authors. Like, I interviewed Inga Simpson, who, you know, because she wrote a book, I read it, I liked it. I posted a picture of my cat lying on my books because he does that for some reason. And she used that as her story for the day. And I just thought,
so she shared that.
Yeah, she just said, oh, can I use that picture? And I said, sure. And then I just said, hey, I do this. Like, I just thought, like, it's lame. I was very self-conscious of like, hey, but I was also self-conscious enough to not make it like, oh, hi, I know I do a podcast. You know, that's lame. I'm sorry, everyone. Like, I just said, look, I have this podcast. And can I interview? And she immediately was like, sure. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And so I've interviewed a few authors, and each of them have said the same thing of like, thank you for reading my book.
Yes.
And then doing the interview.
Wow. Yeah.
Because
because
90% of the interviews they do are with people who haven't read
a
word of it. And you're like, oh, that would suck. That's
like, well, like, so what's your book about? Morning show, and it's there, and they're tapping it.
What's your book about?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, how did you come up with that idea? And it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you go, they were genuinely surprised.
Books are hard to write, are they?
Yeah. You're like, oh, the first question I said was like, in your book, you talk about trees a lot. Like, what's your passion with trees? And she was like, oh, Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, I do love, like, it's that kind of stuff where now, like, I've asked a lot of people to be on the podcast and most of them don't get back to me.
Yeah.
But that's probably a big difference too, of just like, well, I've interviewed people I haven't, I don't know. I've interviewed people who I've read their book and talked to them.
Yeah.
I think interviewing Davian, for example, I interviewed him really early and then I interviewed him, you know, last year or the year before.
Yeah.
And that was completely different. He actually said, he's always been very supportive, but he actually said, like, oh, that was, you know, wow, you're really getting good at this. And being able to be like, oh, thank you, rather than being like, oh, no. But yeah, there's a big difference of like, oh, I'll find it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I hope you don't mind.
No,
sorry.
You go.
I was going to say, it's very definitely true. Like, I hope you don't mind me saying that, this, but maybe in earlier episodes, there was that thing that we were talking about where there's not enough explanation.
No.
So you'll be talking to someone and you'll say, oh, yeah, and this, this, and this. And I'll go, who's that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Go back. What's the context kind of thing?
Yeah.
But I don't find myself doing that much anymore. So I think that's like we were saying before, you need that kind of learning period to work it out of your system to go, these people aren't in my head.
Yes.
I need to have that awareness to paint the full picture. And every time I say anything, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good way to put it, is the other thing, which is stupid that it took me too long to realize, was like editing, you know, if there's an enormous pause, that's fine. You don't panic of like, if someone's thinking or you've lost your train of thought, you don't go, oh, and then you rush to the next thing. You just go, oh, I've lost my train of thought. Hang on a sec. And then you can just.
Well, particularly in this style of podcast, when you often throw questions at people they're not expecting.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to hear them. You need to hear that kind of whirring of the mind.
Yeah. And sort of that was a big thing, was like, people seem to like when there's a thoughtful pause, but no, dead air. Like, it's an old, very old fashioned radio idea, right? Of like, oh no, you can't have any dead air because people are tuning in. They think the radio is broken and they skip to the next channel. But
yeah,
I think it took me way too long to be like, oh, I can just edit that out.
Yeah.
Oh.
This isn't Crazy Matt's sunrise show, though. Like,
Crazy Matt's sunrise show.
Yeah, this isn't radio.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'd like to do that. You know, I would. Sound effects and
do at least one episode.
This is something I always think about and I never do.
We did an episode like that podcast that shan't be named. It was called Johnny and the Pineapple, I think, from memory.
Johnny and the Pineapple.
Yeah.
Boing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a lot of zany morning show radio gear.
that's still a good title.
Yeah.
Still a good title. Oh, it's great.
Can I go back to what you asked originally? about why, like, us podcasting together.
Yeah.
I think it's because, like, we could easily get together and have a chat and make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Because I know if I chat to you blokes, there'll be at least half a dozen really good belly laughs in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's that thing of, like, if this translates over to anybody else at all.
Yeah.
It might not be many people, but if anyone else can enjoy this as much as we do, then that's good.
Yeah.
That's
some
fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I reckon we've had some people over the years who are, like, really very supportive.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, a lot of people who are kind of supportive in that they listen but don't necessarily reach out.
No.
So I think, you know, I just, you know, I hope that, you know, someone listening gets, you know, some of the fun out of it that we have talking to each other. Because I think, you know, you blokes are the funniest blokes I know.
Yep.
And I hope to share that if people like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like every Christmas comes up, I think of, and this is again, I'm getting way too obscure into the weeds, but I'm always going to think of Ellis trying to find his ham bags because he likes to put his hams in special bags and having to sniff around his house like a truffle pig trying to find his ham bags. Like these are things that come up organically in the sort of storytelling.
He's talking about the Dad Pants podcast.
The Dad Pants podcast, yeah, of just every year. And then, you know, we recorded last week and we just wanted to know about these handbags because these images get really stuck in my head of like the things that we've sort of created out of just our discussions.
Yeah. That... Well, you know, I this might not mean much to people, but hasn't stopped us much in previous years. This earlier this year, I was kind of asking you guys, because we do a few podcasts. There's like, obviously you do this one, but we also do the Dad Pants podcast. There's the Bit Weird But Fair Enough, I guess, podcast. We were doing the What's the Go podcast for a while there, which is a bit of a silly sport podcast. And I asked you guys, like, what one do you actually enjoy doing?
Yeah.
Because, For example, like I just wanted to try and get some momentum with one of them going, and I didn't really mind which one.
Yeah.
But I needed to know that you guys were interested enough in trying to do it. And I was very surprised. I was sure as shit that you were all going to say the sport one because you all love sport so much and we were doing a bit of a comedy sport program. I thought this is right up these dudes' alley. But it turned out that you all said that you prefer doing Dad Pants.
Yeah.
Which I just really, like, I was surprised by it, but I think I like that was the answer now.
Yeah, because... I think it's just, I think obviously because we're all dads, I think it serves us well to sort of be critical of our falling into dad stereotypes.
Yes, and because it's dad therapy, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like we're not getting any therapy from talking about sport.
Yes.
Or no. Weird stuff that we've seen.
Yeah.
But we are getting kind of counsel and reinforcement if we need it.
Yeah.
Admonishment if we need it.
Yes. Yeah. To be told that we're wrong is always good.
Yes. So that's what the Dad Pants podcast is about. And so yeah, I'm, you know, we'll continue on until we don't feel like it anymore, I guess.
That's right. And I don't feel like doing this anymore.
Okay.
So thank you, Stu, for
you
joining
us. You said we were going to talk about the Beatles. I have a list of things to talk about.
Well, this is what happens, I'm afraid. I was going to talk to you about Now and Then. Like, did you like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
And here's my list of why.
Okay.
No. It's long. If you want me back, we'll talk about that another.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is what happens. I have a list. I've got a few things written down here. I've got to one of the four.
Yeah.
We got distracted talking about Dukes of Hazzard. We should have known.
I promise, if you have me back, I won't talk about Dukes of Hazzard and throw everything off at the start again.
You can't make promises you can't keep, Buckland.
I said Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's
the Knight Rider next time.
That's the end of Crazy Matt's morning show for this week. I'll just leave it there.
Thanks.
Thank you.